Have you ever been in a conversation that was going perfectly well and all of a sudden things go wrong? Somebody says something, something happens, and suddenly you find yourself in a fight you did not expect at all. 15 minutes pass and suddenly you're fighting about the fact of whether you're going to go visit the in-laws for the holidays or not. And someone says, I really don't like your brother-in-law because he said something mean to me 15 years ago at a family reunion. And I still remember it and I'm still not over it. Sometimes in life we find ourselves in conversations that become a fight. You see, in life, conflict is inevitable and it's unavoidable, but we have a choice whether we're going to respond godly, in a godly way, or are we going to react out of our own humanity. And so with that in mind, I want to speak on the subject, how to fight fair. How to fight fair. Because what I've discovered is when tensions are high, the anger gets the very best of us. In the worst of moments, anger gets the very best of us. And we find ourselves in a place saying and doing things that we don't really mean that end up breaking the relationship. And I believe that today, God wants to give us wisdom from his word about how we can fight fair, how we can disagree without being disagreeable, how we can move forward even when conflict is trying to hold us back. And so today, I just invite you to open your heart, allow God to speak to you. Because I believe that if we make the decision that God wants us to make to choose to fight fair and to do things and do relationships his way, that we're going to see our relationships be transformed. In fact, today at the end of service, we're going to have a moment where we celebrate in communion, where we remember the death and sacrifice of Jesus. And then we're going to step into a worship moment. And here's what I'm believing. I'm believing in faith that God is going to begin to do transformation in people's hearts and in people's relationships, so that when you leave here today, you are equipped to live out a godly pathway, a godly playbook in your relationships when it comes to conflict. So with that in mind, I want to invite you to join me in the book of James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 19 through 22. Open up your Bible, your Westover app. And just as a reminder, for those of you who are part of a life group, we have a life group experience at the bottom of our Westover app notes. If you're part of a life group, that's what you'll use to discuss this sermon. But also you can go to your workplace and maybe discuss it with your friends. Learn how to move forward in this area of conflict and resolve conflict biblically. Let's step into God's word. And as we do that, let me give you a little bit of context. This book of the Bible was written by a guy by the name of James. He was the son of Mary and Joseph. He was the half-brother of Jesus. And he had a front row seat to how to resolve conflict in relationships in a godly way, because he was part of Jesus' earthly family. He actually learned how to resolve conflict from Jesus. I also want to just make note that James, at the very beginning, he says, not only am I a follower of Jesus, but I'm a servant of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that someone who saw Jesus grow up knew that he was the Messiah, and he acknowledges it here. Let's jump into God's word together. Verse 19 and following, it says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. He's speaking to us as siblings in faith. You must all say all. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save, say save. It has the power to save your souls. He goes on to say in verse 22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Today, I want to share with you a couple ways to fight fair. But before I do, I just want to highlight this verse 22 for us today. Because I think this is the foundation of our conversation, the conversation God is having with us. Simply this, we need to make sure that we're not just hearers of God's word, but that we're actually doers as well. Because if not, we're just deceiving ourselves. Someone once said this, inspiration and information without personal application will not create transformation. If we just hear a message that is informative, that inspires us, but we don't apply it to our life, it won't change us. We actually have to put it into practice. And so I'm going to give you the PJV, the Pastor John version of this verse. Read the Bible, do what it says. Read the Bible, do what it says. Read the Bible, do what it says. Say it with me. Read the Bible and do what it says. I believe that if we apply that and we make this a commitment in our heart that we're going to read the Bible and do what it says, that we can walk out of here transformed and better equipped to deal with conflict when it shows up. So here are a couple ways to fight fair. Number one, listen quickly, talk kindly. Listen quickly and talk kindly. This is what James tells us in verse 19. He says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. What he's telling us is that our first response should be to listen, not talk. I know that's a struggle for some of us because our first impulse is to talk and to talk and to talk more and to try to talk. And when there's silence, we talk more. But James is saying, God's inviting us to do something different. In fact, when I was growing up, my mom, she came up to my brother and I a couple times as we were growing up. And she said, do you know why God gave you two ears and one mouth? And before we could respond, she said, it's so that you listen twice as much as you talk. In that she was giving us biblical wisdom from this verse. Because there's a cadence to conversations where God is in control. It's listen, listen, talk. It is ask a question, and then talk. It's not talk, 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 and then listen occasionally. This is the cadence of a biblical, God-centered conversation in relationships. You're not convinced, I want to encourage you to be a listener because listeners get complimented. Have you ever noticed that? Listeners get complimented. People say things like this, he is such a great listener. Or she is patient and she really listens. Or they say, you know what? They really understand me. To my talkers, have you noticed they never compliment us? We never get complimented. In fact, what people say is, he talks too much. And that's not a compliment. They'll say, she goes on and on and on, or they'll say, he could have said that in 15 minutes. Now, if you've ever thought that, talk less, right? Talk kindly. Don't tell me, okay? But I think this is what happens in life. Sometimes we think that we need to talk when what we really need to do is we need to listen quickly and talk kindly. You see, when it comes to talking, less is more. But when it comes to listening, more is more. So here's a couple ways to listen quickly. Number one, set aside distractions. Because distracted listening is fake listening. Distracted listening is fake listening. Because you're not giving the person your full attention. It doesn't matter how good your hearing is, you're going to miss something. You're going to miss their voice inflection. You're going to miss what they're saying with their body language. You're going to miss something. You know, people say fake it till you make it. Well, when it comes to listening, don't fake it because you won't make it. In fact, you'll break the relationship. You'll break it. So set aside distractions. Turn off the TV. Put away your phone. Be willing to dial in completely. Give the person your undivided attention. Second thought I'd offer to you to listen quickly is simply this. Listen to understand, not to prepare your response. I know they're talking and you're thinking and you're quiet, but that's not the moment for you to just prepare what you're about to say. Where you're there preparing all the 8 reasons why they're wrong and you're right and you're about to give them a piece of your mind. No, they need the peace of God, not a piece of your mind. They need to hear. They need to hear and see that you're willing to listen. Because often when we're preparing our own response, we're not really connected. I think we just need to get in the process of being willing to really listen so we respond, not react. And once you've listened and listened again, then be willing to talk. But when you talk, be willing to talk kindly. And here's one way to talk kindly. Be clear and kind. When you have a conversation with someone, be clear and kind. Be clear about the problem if there's a problem. But be kind to the person. Often what happens is we flip the order of that. We are unclear about what the problem really is, and we're mean to the person, but we're soft-pedaling the issue. We need to be clear and kind. You see, clear is kind and unclear is unkind. Say that again. Clear is kind and unclear is unkind, But when clear is unkind, it's still unkind. When clear is unkind, it is still unkind. Why? Because here's what happens. We need to make sure we share the truth in love. We need to make sure that what we say to people is sharing the truth in love, because love is what allows people to receive the truth. And that's what we need to do. We need to be clear and kind. And when we do that, we'll see the Holy Spirit step in and he'll give us words. He'll give us capacity to share his heart with people, not our perspective with them. Remember this, every person is made in the image of God. What that means is that every person needs respect. You see, it's okay to disagree about perspectives, but it's not okay for us to disrespect other people. If they're created in the image of God, we need to show respect and restraint in what we say to people. Even Jesus, when he was disagreeing with people, he still had a level of respect for them because they were created in the image of God. And I just want to hover here for a moment and just invite us to respectfully communicate with one another. We live in a world where people are disrespectful with their words. And I just want to say this to our high schoolers. I know you're growing up in a world where social media is so important and people say mean things, whether to your face or in the comments on a post. I want to encourage you to always elevate the conversation. If you're in a conversation and someone's gossiping about a friend or somebody that you know, be willing to say, hey, listen, they're not here. And be willing to say this, this conversation is below both of us. Be willing to elevate the conversation. Be willing to be clear, but also be kind. And I'm believing that God can do something miraculous in your life and in your voice, in your generation, with your teachers, with your parents. I know some of you are struggling with your parents, but I'm inviting you to show them respect too, because I believe that for some of you that have parents that don't believe in Jesus, I believe that if you show respect, they're going to see God shine through you. And soon, in the next year and a half, maybe 2 years, they're going to be here in church worshiping Jesus because of the way you've lived your faith. I believe that God wants us to do this. You see, what James is telling us is we don't have the right to just vent. We can get angry, but we need to make sure that when we vent our anger, we're doing it in a way that's respectful. Here's the second way to fight fair, that we fight for the relationship, not against each other. Fight for the relationship, not against each other. Your spouse, your family member, your friend is not the enemy. The enemy of your soul is your enemy. And the enemy, he wants to get you to fight other people so that you don't fight against him. He wants to distract you so you fight people. The Bible says we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're fighting against the evil work of the enemy, not other people. So fight for the relationship, not against other people. In fact, this is what James tells us in verse 19. Understand this, you must all be slow to get angry. In fact, I think if James was a Texan, he'd say, all y'all need to be slow to get angry. Slow it down. He's telling us we can get angry, but make sure that we don't vent our anger and hurt other people. You see, sometimes when we vent our anger, what happens is we feel better, but the other person just gets more bitter. In fact, this is what Paul says. He adds to James's words. Paul was a first century follower of Jesus. He says this in Ephesians 4:26. He says this, in your anger, do not sin. You see, when we vent our anger, we can sin. Here's four ways we can sin when we get angry. We can hurt ourselves, self-injury. We can hurt other people. We can destroy property. And even it goes to the heart. If we hate someone in our heart or we curse them with our mouth, we're sinning. You see, if what we say is mean or unclean, it's sin. In fact, Jesus addresses this in Matthew 5:22. He tells us not to curse our brother or our sister. In fact, not to curse anyone, because in that we're sinning. We need to allow God to transform and transform our tongue and how we talk to people. Another reason why I want to encourage you not to buy in to the pattern of the enemy just to vent your anger is because when you get angry, you get into a mode called fight, flight, or freeze. Fight, flight, or freeze. And what happens is when we're in that mode, we are less smart. Yes, we're less smart because the brain and the body diverts blood flow from the prefrontal cortex, which is the brakes of the brain, that tells us, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't say that. It's the one that tells you not to run that person off the road. That's the prefrontal cortex working. But what happens is when we get angry, blood flows from there to our body, and we don't think clearly. And what we need to do is we need to take some time, take a time out, allow God to allow our brain to be renewed and restored. In fact, what should you do when you're angry? Well, I'm glad you're asking. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Say less. Say less. And then walk and pray more. Just because you can say something doesn't mean you should. Just because you can say it doesn't mean you should. In fact, the Bible says even fools are considered wise when they keep their mouth shut. Let me put it to you another way. Even fish avoid getting caught by keeping their mouth shut. We got to be better than fish, guys. We got to be better than fish. We need to allow God to work in our life. We need to say less, walk, and pray more. You see, when you go for a walk, you allow your body a chance to calm down. You're able to process the stress hormone called cortisol. Your blood pressure and your heart rate goes down. Also, as you walk and you look around, it actually helps you process your emotions and your feelings and your thoughts and organize your thoughts and what you need to say. And while you're walking, calming down, make sure to pray, but don't pray this. Don't say, God, get him. God, get him. Give him the flu. May they pop a tire when they're on 410. No. We need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to step into our heart and into our conversation. In fact, when we pray, we need to not pray that God would change them. We need to pray that God would change us. We need to say, God, change me. Change my heart. Change my perspective. Change what I'm saying or doing in the relationship. Because if we do, what will come out will honor God and bless the other person. In fact, James takes it to a spiritual level in verses 20 and 21. He says this, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. What he's telling us is that there's a righteousness that God wants to cultivate within us, but our human anger gets in the way. I know for some of us who have a tendency to get angry quickly, this verse may rub you the wrong way. And if it does, that's okay. I'm here to remind you. So let me pass you for a moment. That God's word is not offensive, but God will offend our human tendencies and our human sensibilities because it gets in the way of the righteousness he wants to cultivate within us. He wants to change us from the inside out. But if we're hard-hearted, he can't change us. You see, anger is not a spiritual blessing. It's an emotional burden we put on people. We need to make sure to let God step in. In fact, James compares angry outbursts to filth and evil in verse 21. He says this, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. What he's saying to us is this, if we're willing to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, what it will do is it will save us from ourselves and from the destruction that anger wants to create within us. He's saying, listen clearly so that you can move forward in your life. We need to allow God to step in. In fact, what some of us don't realize is that often the fight that we're fighting externally with other people is actually a reflection of the war that's happening on the inside. In fact, James says this in James chapter 4, verse 1. He says this, what's causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it coming from the evil desires that are at war within you? James is giving us wisdom here. He's revealing that sometimes the small skirmish that we're involved in with other people, if you're fighting with a bunch of different people, could it be possible that the fight is happening within you? I believe God wants to change us from the inside out. In fact, angry outbursts reveal that the Holy Spirit still needs to do more work because the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and then self-control. Many of us, we have the first seven, but not the last one. And I believe that God wants to cultivate self-control in us so that other people can experience love, joy, peace of God through us. It just reveals that God needs to do more work within us. And so I invite you, allow God to work in your heart. Let him heal your heart. Let him restore your relationships. Here's the third way to fight fair. Pursue peace, not just quiet. Pursue God's peace on the inside, not just quiet on the outside. Sometimes we're so focused on things being quiet that we miss out that God wants to cultivate peace within us. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what God's word says. And he wants to provide his shalom peace to us today. You know, you may be in a relationship where someone is quiet. Truth is, things may be okay, but often when people are quiet, it's because they're hurt or wounded. In fact, researchers tell us that when things get tough in a relationship, people respond one of two ways. Either they get verbally silent or verbally violent. Either they withdraw and disconnect, or they get defensive and provide excuses. Because anger is a defensive emotion. It's meant to protect a heart that's hurting. So we don't need to just be pursuing quiet. We need to be pursuing God's peace in relationships. Paul says this in Romans 12, verses 17 and 18. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with what? With everyone. God's inviting us to pursue peace in relationships. And here's what I've been sensing, is that God wants to proclaim his shalom peace over each one of us today. Sometimes pursuing peace means repairing the relationship. It's not just saying, I'm sorry you felt that way. It's saying, I'm wrong. I hurt you. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me and it won't happen again. That's called repentance. It's a turning away from our old ways and a turning towards God. And I believe that that's what God wants to do. I believe he wants to restore relationships. I think he wants to provide his shalom peace over hearts and minds. I believe that he wants to heal broken hearts. And so today as I close, I want to invite you to stand. We're stepping into a moment of communion. And then we're going to step into a moment where we worship the Lord. And here's what I sense God is about to do. I believe that God is about to heal broken hearts. I also believe that God is here to proclaim his shalom, peace, over every relationship. Whether it's a relationship, maybe a marriage, maybe a family relationship, maybe it's a relationship at work. In fact, I believe at the end of service when we're worshiping, that God's going to heal hearts. He's going to restore and mend broken relationships, give peace. And I also think that some of you who are here today, you're doing great, but you're burdened for another relationship. Maybe a family member, maybe a son or daughter that's married and they're having a really hard time. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone who just got news about divorce. What I want you to do is I want you to come to the front and I want you to intercede, that God would give you shalom peace so you can extend it to them as well. So right now I invite you to retrieve the communion elements. And here's what I want to do. I want to lead us in a prayer where we ask God not only to bless these elements, but to administer these elements to us, but also more importantly, that his presence would show up and that he would do what he's planned to do in this moment. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come to you. We just thank you for how you're good and kind to us. I pray, Lord, you speak clearly and definitively to us about how we need to do life together. Pray, Lord, that you would bring healing to broken hearts. And for those of us who may be struggling with anger, I pray, Lord, that they would repent and turn towards you. And God, I believe that sometimes people who are angry have hurt in their own heart. May they allow you to come close and minister healing. I also pray, Lord, that you would descend in this moment, that you would administer your shalom peace to every relationship. And God, I pray that each person would be an ambassador of peace to other relationships. Lord, as we partake of these elements, would you administer them to us? And would you remind us of your extravagant love for each one of us and how we can be agents of your love to other people? Bless your people today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered with his disciples. He took some bread. He said, "This bread represents my body, which is broken for you. I just want to pause and say, I believe Jesus allowed his body to be broken so that we don't have broken relationships. He let his body be broken for us so that we could be mended and put back together. He says, as often as you gather and you take it, do it in remembrance of me. I invite you to break right now. And let's take in the name of Jesus. And after they had taken the bread, he took the cup. And he said to his disciples, he said, this cup represents my blood, which is shed for you. It's a new covenant that if you believe in me as Lord and Savior of your life, you will not only have the forgiveness of sins, but the promise of eternal life. But if you believe in me, I can also heal you with my blood. Because there's healing in the blood of Jesus. And I'm believing that God's about to heal broken hearts. About to restore minds that are fractured. I believe he's about to do that just right now. I invite us to take in the name of Jesus. God, we come to you as a community asking that you'll proclaim your shalom peace over your people. May you bring healing and wholeness to your people as they worship you. Lord, help them worship through the pain and the hurt. Bring restoration to broken relationships. Proclaim your shalom. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. If you just need God to do something miraculous in your heart or in your relationship or in another relationship that you're burdened for, this moment is for you. I invite you to come now as we worship the Lord.